going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And on this episode of Odyssey's I'm Listening series, we're focusing on the term resiliency and what that means to our overall mental health.
From Odyssey, in partnership with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, welcome to I'm Listening. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and today we're joined by our colleagues from the AFSP for In This Together, Building Emotional Resilience in Ourselves and Our Communities. Odyssey's Katie Neal, host of the nationally syndicated Katie and Company, is joined by Chief Medical Officer for the AFSP, Dr. Christine Yu Moutier, and AFSP Oregon Chapter Board Chair, Vong Tran, for this meaningful conversation. Now, here's Katie Neal.
Welcome to an I'm Listening special. I'm Katie Neal, host of Odyssey's nationally syndicated country radio show, Katie and Company. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you for having us. Very excited about this conversation.
Yeah, so thanks. Am I. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month, destigmatizing conversations around mental health, because we know that openly talking about mental health and suicide in a very healthy way can help reduce negative stigma as well as save lives. We're also going to talk about how to think about your own mental health and everyday approaches that you can take to aid your overall well-being. Dr. Moutier, I would love if you could talk about the AFSP's new campaign, which focuses on resiliency. And I would love if you could just talk about what that means in the context of mental health, the word resiliency.
Yeah, so resilience is this concept that's about really a deeply innate ability that we all have. We're probably practicing it all the time without even realizing it. But like other kind of strengths or muscles that we can build with some intentionality, we can actually go even further with it. And so, what we mean by resilience is it's that ability to cope and respond to challenges, the demands of life. And of course, life is so very unpredictable for all of us. That is just, life throws us curveballs. That's a fact. Maybe we don't grow up kind of thinking that or understanding that. But at some point, I think it helps to actually accept the fact that one thing is certain, and that there will be unpredictabilities and unexpected, curveballs and turns of life. And so the way that we respond to all that is really about exercising that muscle of resilience. And it's about maintaining a sense of stability, a sense of self, a sense of connection to others and community, even through the hard times. And so, you know, mental health is really dynamic. It's like other aspects of health. Our physical health can change. It goes through ups and downs. Some of us have physical health conditions. Some of us have mental health conditions, and many people have both. And it's about managing and optimizing all of that. And resilience is kind of in a way, it's a tactic or a strategy to ground ourselves, to stay stable. And I think, you know, we'll be able to think through what that could look like, you know, in our lives as we learn how to kind of practice that muscle of resilience.
I love the comparisons that you give to your physical body through resilience along with your mental health? Because in 2025, I feel like there's so much focus on physical health and people are much more in tune with what we're putting into our bodies, how we exercise, how we care for our bodies, the medications that we take so that it performs the best that it can. And I think the same can be said about our mental health. So I would love next if you could talk about the exercising people can do to strengthen their own mental health, their resiliency, to help build resiliency, and the tools that are available to them. Dr. Mudiay, could you give some examples of that?
Yeah, sure. And the first thing I would start with is to remember that your mental health is very multifaceted, but there is an organ in your body where much of our mental health is stemming from ultimately, and that is the brain, and the brain is connected to the rest of the body. So anything you do for your physical health, you'll not only gain the benefit in your heart and in your muscles and in your lungs, but also in your brain. So that means physical exercise. That means better sleep hygiene. It can look like being very mindful about how to optimize your diet, your nutrition, other substance use, and staying hydrated, all of those things. But then it goes the other way around as well, so that the things that we think about for our mental health, whether it's how to learn, and I use that word very intentionally because we oftentimes go through, again, the challenges of life and or good times, and we're not necessarily being mindful about what are the inputs that produce different outcomes for our mental health. And the more we can learn about the influences that are positive and the influences that are negative, the more we can make very intentional choices about shaping our stability and again, growing that muscle of resilience. You can think about, like, the old term for it was stress management. And in fact, people, you know, here's some old, you know, kind of medical history, that people who went through things like a heart attack were advised about not only diet and not smoking and exercise, but we're also advised about stress management, because the more that we're able to learn how to adapt and again, how to cope with stressors that are there, that will affect not only our brain and the state of our mental health, but it actually also affects the state of your heart if you're somebody who has a history of heart disease. So there's a very deep connection between brain and body and the choices that we make and how we can learn. And really, like, for myself and for my loved ones and the community, it's not about striving for perfection. It's really never about that, because that's an illusion. It's about making small steps of progress. And that's the way that we can not only learn and really develop over time. This can take time. It's not necessarily an overnight thing to expect of ourselves, but also a way to cultivate a sense of self-compassion, that it is okay that we have ups and downs, that we make mistakes.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Mistakes. That's a part of life. It's a part of being human. And learning to kind of accept that and cultivating that, you know, oftentimes we would have that view for others, being very forgiving and compassionate, but we don't have that towards ourselves in our own internal dialogue. So a lot of that can be part of this, you know, experience of developing resilience.
Absolutely. I want to circle back to two different things that you said. One of them was just thinking about how, you know, a part of life that can be very healthy is accepting that there are going to be ups and downs. You actually can't change that. That's out of your control. But changing how you react to that. I know that in my own mental health journey, that was something that took me a moment to like to really sink in, because I thought, oh, well, if this is the input, this is always going to be my output. But actually, you can change that. And just being aware of your emotions and how you react to things is so powerful.
That is 1,000% true. And I'm kind of getting chills as you're saying it, because when you're able to experience that shift in, it's not necessarily that you feel that you're a victim in life, but you just feel this sense of passive, you know, life is happening to you, but there can be this fundamental shift where you realize there are actually things that you can do, because the way that I view it conceptually is that the brain, the mind is the mediator between the things that are happening in our lives, how we process them and the output that happens. We have more control over than we realize if we learn how to optimize that sort of control center, if you will, of the mind, and developing, you know, an awareness of our thoughts, a mindfulness about our sense of presence and the way we show up for ourselves and with others.
The second thing that I wanted to touch on that you said is that this does take time. And I very much like physical exercise, and I'll embarrass myself here by saying this, but I think of it in terms of like stretching. Like, I'm very inflexible. I can't touch my toes. But if I want to be able to, I know I'm going to have to stretch every day for months just to get a little bit closer. And I do think the same can be said about your own mental health. From my experience, like, I remember I started, you know, going to therapy, taking an SSRI, and it was, you know, a week later, and I was like, well, I can't believe that I can't do this yet. And it's not working. And it's like, well, sometimes it takes 6 months to a year before you really start to notice those changes. So I think giving yourself the compassion that this is a journey, not an overnight deal, that also is very important to remember.
Yeah. And we wouldn't expect it of our heart to recover that quickly, or to grow the muscles, you know, for running, or, and the same thing goes for the brain. Definitely. It takes time.
Fong, I would love if you could talk about some ways that you utilize mental health exercises in your everyday life to build resiliency.
Yeah. I loved all of that. The self-compassion, the time that it takes to, before I answer your question, it does take a lot of time. I've been on this journey for over 7-8 years, and there are still times where I take two steps back a little bit and then one step forward. And so, although it takes a lot of time, it's also not linear at the same time. It can move in so many different directions. So thanks for mentioning that. I really like that a lot. Things that I do to kind of exercise that mental health resiliency. So, for example, with my morning routine, something that I do to kind of start to the day is having some quiet time in the morning before I even start my day. Instead of scrolling and going on social media or checking my email first thing in the morning, which I used to do all the time, it's starting out my day in a very calm and relaxed state before I jump into, before I hop onto the highway, right? That's one example. Another thing that I do too is you guys talked about self-compassion. Which is something that you have to exercise. It's not something that you just learn just by living, right? And that's something that I've been exercising for the last 7 years, is taking some time, intentional silence and solitude, to have some self-compassion on the different parts of myself. For me and a lot of men out there as well, we struggle with shame. And so having that self-compassion on that shame, I kind of think of shame as kind of like that classic football coach that kind of yells at you kind of thing, right? Telling you to like, hey, get better, do those 20 push-ups, get it done now, or you're a loser kind of thing. But what I found is that shame is just trying to get you to be a little bit better and to improve yourself, not in the best way. But you can have some self-compassion on that too.
If you're listening and some of these things have really clicked for you, if you're listening and some things feel a little far away, hard to grasp right now, your mental health journey starts the second that you decide that it does. And Christine, I would love if you could talk about places that people can find resources no matter where they are in their journey right now after they listen to this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to also just bring into the conversation that we all grow up in homes and in cultures that may be different. You know, for Vong and I, we probably share some Asian heritage, and there are some belief systems that are common when you grow up where, you know, feelings aren't really necessarily something that exists always in that world. But whether it's, you know, a Black family, Hispanic, you know, really the truth is every culture and every people group has its own version of ways that mental health had attachments that weren't correct. They were associated with weakness and shame, and that we know that's not true from science. We all have brains, we all have mental health, and we all go through things and have our internal life. And so I love the way that you all just spoke about how you and Vong kind of took that into your own, you know, your own agency to make some choices and take learn more about your mental health and really be proactive. It's just really incredible, both of your journeys and how you've shared it. And yeah, if anyone is interested in taking that next step for yourselves, there's so many different ways that you can learn more about this topic. Certainly on our website, afsp.org. We would love for you to visit and just check out some of our resources. There's a chapter near you. There are other wonderful organizations like NAMI that offer education and support and even helplines. There's 988 that's available 24/7 to anyone who's going through any type of mental health experience or crisis. It doesn't have to be a suicidal crisis, but it certainly can be. You can also be the helping person. You don't have to be the one going through it yourself, but you're worried about someone and you're not sure what next step to take. 988 is there for you as well.
That's so wonderful. Thank you both for your time today and for sharing your stories. We so appreciate it. And thank you for tuning in to this I'm Listening special.
Our thanks to Dr. Christine Yumutier and Vong Tran from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention for their time and dedication to better mental health. For more resources, please visit afsp.org. And if you or someone you know is in crisis and needs someone to talk with immediately, please call or text 988. For the full show and more stories like this, download the I'm Listening podcast on the Odyssey app or visit imlistening.org. From Odyssey, in partnership with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, welcome to I'm Listening. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and today we're joined by our colleagues from the AFSP for In This Together, Building Emotional Resilience in Ourselves and Our Communities. Odyssey's Katie Neal, host of the nationally syndicated Katie and Company, is joined by Chief Medical Officer for the AFSP, Dr. Christine Yumutier,
and AFSP Oregon Chapter Board Chair Vong Tran for this meaningful conversation. Now, here's Katie Neal.
Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you for having us. Very excited about this conversation.
Yeah, thanks.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, destigmatizing conversations around mental health, because we know that openly talking about mental health and suicide in a very healthy way can help reduce negative stigma as well as save lives. We're also going to talk about how to think about your own mental health and everyday approaches that you can take to aid your overall well-being. I've got two things that I do for self-compassion and exercise that I've found in my therapy journey that is so helpful to me, is that when I find that I'm really being hard on myself, and the exercise is you have to pull up a photo of yourself as a child, and whatever mean things you want to say to you, you have to say to that little girl. If you do this, you will never be able to say a mean thing to that child.
For myself, what I will often do, because we all have our patterns, and our thought patterns tend to go to a certain place. For mine, they used to go towards a place of believing that I'm alone in the world. And it's a very isolating, lonely, bad feeling. But what I think many of us can learn how to do, just like you're describing, is kind of separate out and take a look at it from a different viewpoint. And I learned something from one of our volunteers that who would use the phrase, "My brain is lying to me right now." And so, you know, as a psychiatrist, I see all the time how every human being, our thoughts can play tricks on us. And yet our thoughts, we rely on our thoughts. Our brain is the place where we feel, even sometimes without an awareness about how we're perceiving life, what we're thinking about ourselves. Our thoughts can be rather invisible to us. But when you learn that your patterns tend to go towards this negative space, you can separate out and say, in this moment, it's playing a trick on me. I need to actually ground myself in reality and in truth. And you can learn how to do that in all these ways you're describing, or you have a therapist or even a partner in life where you reality check. Or maybe it's you learn how to do it for yourself, which is amazing. So I just love this conversation because I feel like we don't talk about our thought life in these ways very much.
The next thing I would love to talk about is self-care, which I know is such a buzzword in 2025 in the last few years. But I feel like, you know, as we're talking about, you know, you can exercise physically, you can exercise mentally. There also is a differentiation between physical self-care and mental self-care. You know, if my muscles are sore, I take a nice long bath, I get a massage. Dr. Moutier, could you talk about what are some of the things mentally we can do for self-care?
I'll start with one that I practice myself, and it's really basic and really simple because I, in the middle of a busy day, I need something that's going to be kind of a go-to that doesn't take a lot of effort. So it's a breathing technique, and I can do it literally while I'm even doing other things. But certainly if I'm, you know, in my own quiet space, it's simply slowing down my breath, focusing on, you know, letting your diaphragm expand out as you inhale. So you're actually kind of in a way like allowing your belly to push out as you inhale, and then exhaling nice and slow as well. And there are different techniques for this. Some people call it, you know, square breathing, where there's a 4-4-4. You know, so you're inhaling for a count up to four, and then you're holding it for four, and then exhale for four, and then you just pause for four. So that is a very intentional way, I think, that your mind and your body are doing the same thing together. And there's something that, you know, whether it's that mental aspect or whether it's the physical or both together, but there's a very grounding physiological thing that happens when you do that, and your autonomic system settles down.
Thong, I'd love for if you could talk about some of the things that you do for your own mental self-care.
Yeah, for mental self-care, something that's really important to me is kind of the social aspect of things. One of the things that I found in my own healing journey is that I can't do life on my own. I can't just be independent and just cruise through life. I need to do it in community. And so I'm in a couple of different community groups. One of the community groups that I'm in is we meet on Tuesdays. It's through my church, and we all come together. Right now we're coming together at my apartment. And we'll have a meal together. We'll pray for each other. We'll have some discussion questions. And we'll support one another as well. It's just a great place to just be vulnerable and just to be raw and honest. And I think that's what a lot of people are seeking. I'm also in a men's group too. And funny story, this men's group started during COVID through the Nextdoor app, if you're familiar with that. It was one guy who went on the app and was like, hey, during COVID, we're realizing that people are more lonely than ever and we need that human connection. And so when it first started, we all social distanced at a park once the lockdown was over. And the purpose of this group is to talk about different topics that men don't normally talk about. Things like shame, depression, loneliness, things like that. We bring different articles and we'll have a facilitator and we'll go around and talk about those difficult topics in a safe and honest environment.
What's going through my head as you all are speaking so openly and powerfully is about what science shows is protective against suicide risk. And two of the most powerful protective factors are a sense of social connection and interpersonal connectedness. That's one that comes up over and over again in studies. And another one is engaging in proactive mental health strategies, including treatment. So both of those have come up just naturally in this conversation. And I just thought I would highlight that, you know, if folks are worried about their own safety, their own risk, or someone you love, or someone at work, those are two things that you could potentially play a role in helping to influence for those folks just by being someone who cares and comes up closer and has these deeper conversations.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month. It is also Asian American Pacific Islanders Month. And Christine, you briefly touched on this, just that in different households, different cultures, speaking about mental health can vary. Could you each maybe speak to that a little bit more?
We all have our upbringings and our family heritage where we learned a lot, you know, just implicitly by being in the environment. And I grew up in an Asian dominant household. My father's Chinese, and achievement was the goal, and increasing your family's sort of status through academic achievement. And so feelings and emotions and failure didn't, that was not an acceptable way to be in the home environment. And I do remember like getting sent to my room when I was having, you know, a tearful episode as a kid, you know, and come back out when you can participate in the family and basically put on the happy face. That really sends a message to children that emotions are bad and that there's shame attached with feeling sad, feeling mad. We know that feelings just are, and in fact, they're healthy human responses to situations, and we can learn so much about how to accept that, how to work through it, how to even harness them so that they don't have to dictate our behavior, but can be, in a way, a signal to ourselves of taking a pause. And, you know, if you do have the benefit of being in therapy, certainly bringing it into therapy, but if not, you know, just self-reflecting, journaling, learning to sit with it. That was a huge thing in my 20s, just feeling anxious, and I didn't have a way to deal with that, and learning that that it will pass, first of all, that you can let yourself sit with it for a few moments and kind of just experience it as kind of scary or painful as that might be at first. You soon learn that unlike the small child experience where emotions just take over your entire physiology, you know, you picture the tantruming child, that as an adult, you can experience the emotion and it has an arc and it will come to the other side of it. And that we can learn more about ourselves. It doesn't have to be such a negative and scary thing, but we do. We learn so much from our households, and Culture is important, and you can come eventually to that place where you feel a sense of gratitude and strong identity, but also having learned and separated out what you want to bring forward in your life and not necessarily staying stuck in that experience of what those messages were when you were growing up.
As an Asian American, that it is kind of like going against the grain, and it is difficult. We weren't taught how to navigate our emotions. It was more stuffing it. And so I do want to acknowledge that, like, hey, this is hard work. But as someone has said from AFSP, that hard work is hard work too. I grew up with immigrant parents who came to the U.S. after the Vietnam War. And so their whole thing was, hey, we just have to survive and put food on the table. So there wasn't really any sort of space or capacity to talk about mental health. And I'm not sure if you guys know, but in Vietnamese, there isn't really a good translation for mental health either. If you Google up the actual phrase itself, the phrase kind of has a stigma behind it, which is more of like, hey, you have an illness, but it is an illness where a lot of people in the Vietnamese community will think of like, hey, getting locked in a hospital, you know, chained to a bed kind of thing. Like, hey, you really have issues and we have to kind of like push you away into like forced help or whatever it is. And that's kind of the stigma that comes with the word for mental health in Vietnamese. And so there isn't really like a healthy translation, if you will.
If you're listening and some of these things have really clicked for you, if you're listening and some things feel a little far away, hard to grasp right now, your mental health journey starts the second that you decide that it does. And Christine, I would love if you could talk about places that people can find resources no matter where they are in their journey right now after they listen to this.
We all grow up in homes and in cultures that may be different. You know, for Vong and I, we probably share some Asian heritage, and there are some belief systems that are common when you grow up. Really, the truth is every culture and every people group has its own version of ways that mental health had attachments that weren't correct. They were associated with weakness and shame, and that we know that's not true from science. We all have brains, we all have mental health, and we all go through things and have our internal life. And so I love the way that you all just spoke about how you and Vong kind of took that into your own, you know, your own agency to make some choices and take learn more about your mental health and really be proactive. It's just really incredible, both of your journeys and how you've shared it. If anyone is interested in taking that next step for yourselves, there's so many different ways that you can learn more about this topic. Certainly on our website, AFSP.org. There are other wonderful organizations like NAMI that offer education and support and even helplines. There's 988 that's available 24/7 to anyone who's going through any type of mental health experience or crisis. Doesn't have to be a suicidal crisis, but it certainly can be. You can also be the helping person. You don't have to be the one going through it yourself, but you're worried about someone and you're not sure what next step to take. 988 is there for you as well.
That's so wonderful. Thank you both for your time today and for sharing your stories. We so appreciate it. And thank you for tuning in to this I'm Listening special.
Our thanks to Dr. Christine Yu Moutier and Vong Tran from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention for their time and dedication to better mental health. For more resources, please visit AFSP.org. And if you or someone you know is in crisis and needs someone to talk with immediately, please call or text 988. For the full show and more stories like this, download the I'm Listening podcast on the Odyssey app or visit imlistening.org.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Our next guest here on Better Living is the president of the Blue Guardians Foundation, Renee Sanchez. The Blue Guardian Foundation is a Latino law enforcement organization providing services for those officers or their families affected by life-altering events here in Dallas. Renee, first of all, I've been knowing you 8 to 10 years at least. It's great having you on the show again. How you been?
I've been great, Chris. Thank you for asking.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's about time to catch everybody up on the great things that the Blue Guardian Foundation is doing these days. But first, let's go back to when you first formed this nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it happened right after the tragic events at the parade in Dallas in July of 2016. Is that about right?
That is correct. That was a difficult time for us. Obviously, it brings back a lot of memories, Chris. Mm-hmm. That's when we lost our 5 officers here in Dallas and downtown, next to El Central College. 4 of them were DPD officers, and one of them was a DART officer. But yes, that 7/7/2016 is a special day for us.
Yeah, and again, I love the fact that you guys immediately said, let's do something for the families. Let's do something for those, mm-hmm. Who lost an officer in their family. So tell us the process again. Like, when did it happen? Whose idea was it? You were sitting around a table. Were you out somewhere, just talking, or were you in a squad car? Just people love to hear these kind of stories of where it all began.
And I'll tell you. So obviously, 7/7/16, it was chaotic. It was a chaotic scene. If you were an officer, law enforcement across the nation, across the world, it was, it was in the news, on social media. Everybody was impacted. So just imagine us here in ground zero, dealing with our brothers, our sisters in blue, our community, our citizens, because people forget there was a lot of citizens that were affected. A lot of citizens were injured as well. So we were trying to put all that together, trying to get a hold of each other, trying to kind of focus on, okay, who needs help? Who needs assistance? How can we give them, immediate help? And at the same time, there's a lot of emotions going back and forth as far as we want to go to the hospital. We want to be there. We want to, pick up their families, take them here. And it was you know, we're so used to assisting, you know, taking care of one incident at a time, mm-hmm. not multiple. This was a critical incident that we call it, in, you know, in verbiage for law enforcement that we had. And we had here in our backyard, you know. And so after all that, it took us, you know, funerals, going to the funerals, going to the talking to the families, bringing people from out of town, you know, then we realized, you know, the assistance we needed, right? The help mm-hmm. we needed financially to help these families, you know, that got left behind, right? By these officers giving the, you know, the ultimate sacrifice, you know, giving up their lives, protecting, you know, our community. And so us was, you know, what do we do? How do we do it? You know, we started, you know, talking to each other as a board, as a National Latino board. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, obviously spearheading it was our past president, George Aranda.
He's the greatest.
Yes. And our VP, Rocky Ramos. So they were like, okay, let's do something. Let's how can we raise money? How can we do a foundation, a nonprofit? So we started talking to, you know, our peers. And kind of like yourself, Chris, you know, somebody that knows somebody, knows somebody else, mm-hmm. that knows somebody else, right? That mm-hmm. they can point us in the right direction. And we got a hold of the community leaders, faith-based leaders, you know, within our community. And they told us, hey, this is what you need to do. This is what y'all need to do. Raise money. So when something like this happens, you know, y'all be able to, you know, y'all communicate with the officers, with their families, and it's immediate assistance right there and then. It's immediate. Mm-hmm. We don't have to raise. We don't have to wait to put an event together, you know, to where we taking donations. By that time, it takes us, you know, manpower. It takes us time. It takes us to put it together, permits to the city. So by the time you know it, we're 6 months down the line trying to raise money. Well, where these officers, these families, you know, their medical bills are piling up. Mm-hmm. Their mortgages are, you know, are due, their medical bills are coming in. They got family, they got kids, you know. So it's a lot of things were going on. So, you know, to us was, how can we have that money there in the bank?
Right.
So when it's needed,
ready.
We can, you know, ready to go, right? Mm-hmm. So like I tell everybody, from all the events we've been doing since 2016, we're just the gate holders, right? We just, mm-hmm. as soon as we get, and it's evolved to where we are today, right? So. But yeah, so that was kind of the mentality was everybody was trying to help. And we have a lot of citizens, hey, you know, they were from $100 for a few thousand dollars to, you know, a 6-year-old trying to give me a dollar.
Right.
But to that 6-year-old, that dollar is
yeah,
the whole
everything.
World.
That's everything for that 6-year-old. Yeah, that's major.
So, yeah, so to us it was, you know, it was emotional, it was heartfelt, right? So to us was Let's do it. Let's put it together.
And you
let's
know
put
what?
A board together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, and what made everybody just proud of everything that happened in the aftermath of the parade nationwide, like you said, everybody knew what happened in Dallas, and everybody was saying Dallas handled that situation so right. From Chief Brown to all the different people at City Hall, to the citizens, to the police officers, everybody. In fact, they were all saying that Dallas did it the right way. In other words, this is how you respond. Even for the services, President Obama and President George W. Bush, they were both there and they broadcast it live. I mean, people knew that Dallas was a city that could do right. And so I'm glad that you guys stepped up to say, let's create this nonprofit organization that's there for police officers in Dallas, you know, the law enforcement. And it's organized, and therefore, when somebody runs into trouble or they lose their lives and their families are there, you're in place. They can just get in touch with you guys, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that was the biggest thing, that we saw the support from the White House, from Austin, from the city, from, you know, City Hall, from our mayor,
everybody.
From constituents, you name it. You know, everybody was. It was hands on. It was, you know, they knew that we were, you know, we were broken down and they were here to give us their hand and pretty much lift us up. Right. I say, you know, you're not alone. Pretty much. You're mm-hmm. not alone. We're here to help. We're here to assist. How can we do it? Where, just put us anywhere. So that was another thing too, that, you know, it, you know, with this nonprofit, the Blue Guardian Foundation, we were able to, you know, to learn the logistics. How do we put everybody in place?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get everybody's strong points, and how can we assist, right? How can we organize hundreds of people that want to help, want to support, you know, the officers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our department and our city too, because our city was broken
after that happened. Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's never happened nowhere else where we lost five officers in this manner in the critical incidents besides 9/11. So, yes, and beside, you know, our President Obama, and we had people from Canada,
mm-hmm.
people from Mexico,
mm-hmm.
coming in full uniform to this city.
Yes.
Giving assistance.
It was amazing. You know? It was absolutely amazing.
Not just across our, you know, our nation, but they were coming from other countries and
right.
giving that support. So going back to 2016, so immediately, you know, we try to organize ourselves. How can we get everybody in one place and unite and communicate and talk and bridge our differences, right? And kind of focus on rebuilding the mistrust, the not knowing, you know, that this individuals that are wearing this uniform, they're humans, they're human
right.
beings, right?
Right.
It's a career they chose, and to protect, you know, to serve and to give back to the community. And I guess that was a big concept, right? How can we take that trust back? How mm-hmm. can we do it? What mm-hmm. can we do? What kind of event can we do to where that we can walk with the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this idea, you know, came from, you know, from George and Rocky and Dominique Irwin.
Mm-hmm.
She was our treasurer during that time, and other board members, and said, "How can let's walk? Let's sweat it out. Let's go for a walk. Let's go for a run. Let's bring everybody together. Let's do a 5K. Let's do something that everybody can participate, from a 2-year-old that can walk a 1-mile walk to everybody else can, you know, sweat it out. You know, let's get our differences, but let's do it united. Let's do it in officers. Let's do it in uniform,
mm-hmm.
and let's walk with them. Let's hold hands, right? Let's get it up. Let's get it up. I mean, what's going on with our nation? What's going on with the differences that we're here, right? So the Run for the Blue came.
That's you know, it. The Run for the Blue.
Yeah, so the Run for this event, this 5K came about, this conversation came, and then I said, how can we do it? And so he says, let's do a free, let's do it for free, because for us it was a bigger
meaning, purpose. You want to make sure everybody could be in, have an opportunity to be involved at the time.
Exactly. Just come out. We just want you to come out. Just get here. Uber here. You know, Uber. However you want to get here, just get here. And we're gonna depend on our community to, you know, for sponsorships, donations, and let's make it 100% free.
Mm-hmm.
So we expected, like, you know, a few hundred people to show up, Chris. When I tell you, thousands of people show up.
Wow.
And we were overwhelmed. You know, I don't think we had the right permits for that event.
Right, I got you.
They told us, hey, Renee, I mean, how many people are you expecting? And I'm like, well, a few hundred people. You know, hopefully we get a few hundred people to show up. And,
right.
And so, it's Chris, with certain permits for the city, they want to know how many people we expect.
Exactly. So you can have all the things, all the T's crossed and the I's dotted and all the red tape taken care of. I understand. And so in a way you had a good problem. It was a problem, but it was a good problem.
Yes, it was. And I think, you know, once the day came and we did our first Run for the Blue, everybody was excited. Everybody was overwhelmed. Everybody at the attendance,
mm-hmm.
right? I think it spread.
Yeah, they came together. Everybody came together.
Yeah, and I think on both sides, I think it was mm-hmm. beneficial, and it was something that meant more to the community, because people came.
Yes,
like I said, the business community, the faith-based community, your regular, mm-hmm. bus driver, mm-hmm. People that work at grocery stores, people that, you name them, just yeah. a regular person, honest, grateful. We were all hugging each other, They were crying. There was tears. There was affection. It seemed like we, everything that was going on social media during that time, everything was going on, that was going on the radio, on mm-hmm. television. It was information that was being put out there, right? Was being put out to society. It was a lot different than what we saw that day.
Right. It didn't seem divisive. What you saw that day was everybody coming together and healing together. It was like, it was like everybody just went, oh wow, this yeah. is really. I thought you guys were the bad guys. Wait a minute. No, you're the good guys. Wait a minute. I thought you guys didn't like us. Wait a minute. We do like you. I love when those things happen, especially for communities coming together for the right reasons. And so that was the first run for the Blues. How many runs for the Blues have you had so far? And when's the next one?
This is the ninth annual.
Excellent.
Chris, run for the Blue. Mm-hmm. The ninth annual. We've been having every year after year, except for COVID. Obviously, we know COVID
right.
kind of affected all of us.
Yes.
And so we did a virtual run during COVID. So we still had it. But there was virtual runners. They were running at the park by themselves at home.
And right. Training, everybody was tied together virtually online. It's like they were sticking together. I love that. That's creative. Yeah. That's what they call back during the pandemic. That's called making the pivot.
yes. And it worked great. It worked great. And it kind of worked in our favor because now we have people from all over and you can yes. see them online.
Yeah.
You see them online when they register.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They register and they're in Colorado. Mm-hmm.
I see Milwaukee, man.
I see New York,
yeah,
all over. And and going forward, right? Going forward, we have some races. We speak to organizers that promote 5Ks runs, 10Ks marathons, and throughout the years, I always see a decline of runners, right? Because they say, okay, well, I ran that race. So they go to different races.
Right.
But the run for the blue since 2016 till now has always stayed steady.
That's
Everybody
great.
Participates. Everybody wants to come out. I mm-hmm. see new faces year after year.
That's
and
great.
It's a great thing to see because you see officers from all different departments come and join us. And this year it's going to be again. We always pick them on. Since it happened on 7/7, we always pick the nearest date, the nearest Saturday
sure.
to that date,
mm-hmm.
right, to do it. So this year it's going to fall on July the 5th.
Right, right after Independence Day. Yep.
Right.
You can follow up Independence and work off some of that barbecue that you ate on that Friday on 4th of July. You can work it off at the Run for the Blue.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And to us, is obviously it's a holiday, so everybody's gonna be off. So mm-hmm. we hope that everybody can do it safely. Do their fireworks, go see the fireworks downtown, and then come early in the morning and be a part of this this great run that has a lot of meaning. It gives a lot, gives a lot to our community, our police officers, and we hope to see as many, a few thousand, obviously, to come participate because it means a lot to us. It means a lot to the department. A lot to the families, especially the fallen officers' families, because
mm-hmm.
To us it's a continuing support financially with them. So it's not just that day or
that
going
one
back
time.
To 2016.
Right. It was not just after the parade. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
not
continuing
because of that.
Because like you said, guys give the ultimate price sometimes, when they wear the shield. I got a question for you. With that being said, a lot of people do and don't know is that the Blue Guardians also bring awareness to police-related mental health issues, mental wellness, and you provide service for those affected by these life-altering events, and you assist those officers and their families with training and scholarship opportunities. So with the mental wellness issues, Can you talk about that a little bit? And the reason I say this is because it's very difficult being in law enforcement or just the first responder overall, you know, because it's a lot of things you have to go through. But when people, you know, because you want to be very helpful, and then you've got to weigh situations out, and it can be very, very taxing. And the best way to solve and resolve some of your emotions is just to be able to talk it out with people. And I think that it's really great that you guys are bringing awareness to police-related mental wellness issues.
Absolutely. I think that's the most important thing there, Chris. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought that up, too, just because the wellness of officers, right? And, you know, you hear a lot of, you know, associated to military, PTSD, mm-hmm. but as officers, you can multiply that times 10 as what our officers are exposed to on a daily, 8-hour, 10-hour shift.
I can believe that.
They are exposed to, you name it, anything so minor as a traffic accident where somebody lost their lives, to a shooting and assault, where, you know, you see, you know, our youth, you know, in a bad situation, all the way to homicides, right? Mm-hmm. So where the officers are responding to it, and somehow they have to do their job. They have to do their job. They have to contact the right units to come respond, work together with other departments like DFR, mm-hmm. paramedics, transport to the hospital. But at the same time, we're human beings.
Right. You know, in other words, when they come home, you've got to talk to your family and you got kids or whatever. And it's, they have no idea what you just went through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to us is sometimes our language, the way we talk, the way we communicate is totally different. It doesn't translate into going home and talking to your kids, talking to your wife. But it will translate talking to other officers, mm-hmm. or somebody that's more senior, right? Mm-hmm. That's been through that. They can relate to them and kind of, you know, work them down, you know, to the point to where, hey, you know, kind of give them some pointers as far as what to do, not to do, you know. But this wellness that you brought up, is probably the most important thing we have within the Blue Guardian Foundation, as far as associating ourselves with other groups and other nonprofits, mm-hmm. that put our officers first, that they can go and then they can unwind, they can speak, talk, and be open about their emotions and stay 100% confidential, right?
Yes.
And those, obviously, as you know, therapy, you know, mm-hmm. talking to certain doctors out there.
Right. It's for your mental wellness. It's no different than physical fitness. You want to have mental fitness too. So people talk to therapists all the time. It's like you'd be crazy not to talk to a therapist when things are building up in your mind.
Absolutely. So, and that with that cause, a lot of officers don't take it, don't do it, because why? Because
I'm supposed to be strong. Yes, it's like an athlete. Yeah. It's like an athlete. I got to be strong. I got to be tough. I can't show any weaknesses because people are counting on me.
Absolutely. So where we step in is we take care of that with financially. Mm-hmm. We help them pay for it. We encourage it. We push the officers, you know, to seek that, you know, that route, mm-hmm. take that path, and put them in the right path so they can heal themselves. So they can come back and they could be normal again, not only at work, but at home,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you don't got your stuff taken care of at home, you can't come to work, right? So everything needs to be lined up at home with your wife, with your kids, with your brothers, sisters, your mom. Everything needs to be pretty much at 100% there in order for you to come to work and do this job, right? So that's another thing that we do, that we do assist the officers, and financially is on the wellness, that we take 100% of the cost when they are seeking assistance, right? Mm-hmm. And we teamed up with First One, which they are great. They are absolutely great. They put our officers first. Everything's confidential. We used a lot of feedback from officers coming back to us as regarding as the pros and then the pros and cons, you know, seeking help, because even the bad stuff, we need to hear about it so we can adjust it.
So we can adjust,
make it better, kind of point those, you know, those that negative part of it, right? Because in our you know, career of law enforcement, you know, it's always been a negative thing to, you know, seeking help is somehow has this negative
tone that you're not tough enough. Strong.
We gotta be protectors, but you know what? Mentally, if you mentally you're strong, not just physically, right? But mentally, if you're 100, if you come to work and you could do this job and you mentally healthy, it makes you just a better officer.
Exactly.
All the way around.
Exactly. It's like you want to be as mentally strong as you are physically strong.
Absolutely. And you make better decisions too.
Yeah. Right?
You make a lot of decisions. You're more focused. You're understandable. You can, but yes, absolutely. And you can see the difference in officers once they come back from that therapy, from talking to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the wellness is something that the Blue Guardian Foundation really focuses on, you know, throughout the years. That's something too that, you know, our you know, people said that, you know, our last chief, Eddie Garcia, he was a big activist. I mean, he was it. We didn't have a wellness group, a unit within Dallas Police Department prior to him.
Wow. Right? But he was so an advocate wanted it.
Yeah, he made it. He put the right people over there.
Excellent.
Those individuals are focused with kind of taking care of our department from the inside out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that we are pointing out, you know, those areas that need a little bit more attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is our officers, our immediate officers, our boots on the ground, the ones answering calls every day and talking to our citizens, our community, and how can they, you know, they take care of themselves a little bit better too, right?
Exactly.
Health wise, physically wise, mentally wise. So it's a lot of, it's not just, you know, a sit down, a 10-minute conversation, right? It's more of a, let's sit down. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Let's get everything in order. Know each other.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Chris.
We're talking with Rene Sanchez. He's the president of the Blue Guardian Foundation here in Dallas, a Latino law enforcement organization providing services for those officers or their families affected by life-altering events. And speaking of helping people, you also offer scholarships. I know there's a George Scholarship and a Rocky Scholarship. Can you talk about how one can apply for a scholarship and who the scholarships usually benefit?
With the scholarships, as you know, our founders, George Aranda and Rocky Ramos, you know, I had an idea. I said, well, you know what? How about we make some scholarships behind these two guys? You know, because everybody here on our board does this voluntarily. Right?
That's right.
Everybody does it for free, right? We show up. We take time away from our families too, as well, right? But we kind of follow his lead, right? And that's the leadership scholarship come from George Aranda, and then our second scholarship is behind Rocky Ramos, and it's a public service scholarship, right?
Uh-huh.
Rocky was always involved with the community, especially in West Dallas, Loveville, North Dallas. He's always been very involved in the community as some of our biggest donor sponsors comes from, you know, business oriented community,
mm-hmm.
that he's made contact with, that he's communicated with. And so it was very important for us to, you know, not only is very important to be a leader in our community, but to be a public servant, right? And within our community too, as well. So it was easy for me to say, you know what? And they didn't know about this either. So I kind of named those two scholarships behind, you know, George and Rocky, as far as scholarships. And as far as who can enroll, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is not just for law enforcement. People say, do I need to be in law enforcement? Do the parents be in law enforcement? Absolutely not. We teamed up with different high schools, Townview, right? We teaming up with different high schools within Dallas, as if they have criminal justice courses, anything that has to do with law enforcement, is, you know, it being forensics, crime scene techs, communications, dispatchers. But for us, the most important thing is law enforcement oriented or related to, you know, individuals, our kids, our youth going into college, their next chapter.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can go to the BlueGuardianFoundation.org and you go into the scholarships and it'll have all the information. We have some information there. Yeah. You know, not much information, but it'll show you. You can read a little bit about George Aranda. You could read a little bit about Rocky Ramos, and then we'll have an essay. We'll collect, you know, 30 to 40 different essays, and every year we'll give out 5 scholarships, right, and to different individuals. And then during our gala, our National Latino Law Enforcement Gala, the Blue Guardian Foundation will give scholarships during that time, and that's every year.
That is fantastic. He is Rene Sanchez, the president of the Blue Guardian Foundation. Rene, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.